This is HICF Ministries. We pride ourselves as a home away from your home country, a home away from your heavenly home, a home where Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Yes, it's a home where the living word is shared, word for word, in truth and in love. You are invited to stay tuned. Listen to the Word of Life brought to you by HICF Ministries. And now, Elder George.
Amen. Please let me be seated. Amen. Amen. We thank God for the opportunity. I thank personally for the opportunity. I want to thank God for the shepherd over this flock, over the house, the pastor, Pastor Reverend John Dickey, for the sacrifice. Amen. And I want to thank God for the pastoral family. I want to thank God for Mom, the Dickey family, for the sacrifice. I want to thank God also for all the elders, Brother Eve and the Mandefu family. God bless you for giving your heart for the flock of God, for the house of God. Amen. And thank God for all the other families and all the other ministries who commit their time, commit their effort to be part of this house, to be part of this body of Christ. Amen. And sometimes you forget that you are far away from home. You forget that you are in China. But so this is the doing of the Lord. And it's a great blessing that we have to recognize, right, and draw from. It's a great blessing that we have to draw from this. So we really thank God. And I thank God for the opportunity once again to stand before you to bring the word of God, right? It's just the word of God that we want to go into today. So I would like us to take some time to divide some scriptures, look into some scriptures. The message itself has been preached already, right, from the beginning, from the opening scripture up to now, right? Yeah, I want to, almost forgetting something, thanking God for the ministries, for the prayer ministry, for all the sacrifices. The MC was saying earlier, if you want to join the prayer ministry, please talk to somebody after service. We also saw the art ministry through the dance ministry this morning, right? Take a lot of practice, a lot of rehearsal, and God bless you for that. If you want to join, what I'm just saying is that don't just be a pew warmer, right? A bench warmer, but join something. It's part of the message to today, right? I also want to thank God for the worship team, you know, coming all the time to practice. Don't do it unto man, do it unto God, right? And certainly the reward will be there for you. I want to thank God for the media team, right? For the sacrifice. Thank God for the ushering team, for the sacrifice. So if you are part, there are many ministries. The book table, join a ministry and be part of this and be planted, right, in the house of God. For what? To be able to fulfill what he has for you, right? So, as I was saying, we have already, you know, preached the message. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. As we just said right now, that because he lives, we have an assurance for tomorrow. So, as you've seen already, the title of my message is Still There Is Hope, right? Still there is hope. And I believe if you are part of this ministry, you already know that this is the theme of the year. This is our theme of the year. Still, there is hope. Okay, so the Father has already preached on that. You know, try to break it down and unveil it, right? Divide it, as Paul said, divide the word of truth, right? I just want to also add a little to it. Amen. So we saw that already in the sermon scripture. We saw in the First Corinthians chapter 15, right? We saw Paul. I think, you know, Paul bringing is kind of a discussion is kind of an argument, right? A discussion that we have to go into. Yeah. A discussion that we really have to sit down, right? And go into and break it down. When we come to church and we say and we hear the pastor, the preacher, and the whole church says that the theme of the year is still there is hope. What does that mean? What does that mean? Because I also come from school. I also watched some football, and some people also threw some betting. I said, "Oh, there is hope. Arsenal is going to win. It's still hope." Is it the same? Are we talking about the same hope? Is it the same hope we are talking about? Right? Everywhere in business, oh, I put this money into it. There is hope that this money is coming out. What? And I came to church, and the church is still talking about, you know, hope. What kind of hope is that? What kind of hope is that talking about? What kind of hope are we talking about? So we would like to take some time to look into it. To look into it, right? To look into it. And already we saw, as I'm saying, we already saw that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul making that argument, you know, that, you know, we have that hope because Christ rose again. I don't want to jump before the gun. So let's look at some scripture. That's what we're going to be doing, going to some scriptures today. Right? So personally, this is me just kind of breaking it down, looking into still there's hope. First, I want to look at still. I want to look at still first. When I say still something, still something, how do I understand it? I want to break it down. First of all, I want to say that still maybe it means that no matter what happens, there is still hope. No matter what, whatever might happen to me or might happen in this case or that case, there is still hope. So that's my one first understanding of still. I believe that another understanding of still can also be even after death, there is still hope. Right? Even if into death, I still have hope, there is still hope. There might be any other meanings of hope, but you know, this some of them, right? This is just two of them today. Amen. Okay, so this is another discussion that Jesus was having with Martha. We know this story very well in John 11 when Lazarus died, right? Lazarus died, right? And many days, we saw Martha and Mary coming. Oh, if you have been there earlier. But now the body is dead, smelling already. I want to ask you a question. Is there hope? That's a good question. Is there hope? Right? And Martha and Mary, you cannot say that they don't know the word of God. You know the argument. You can go back to John 11 and see that there's hope. That Jesus is saying that, now Jesus said unto her, that, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believed in me, though he were dead, yet he lives. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. That's the question I was just asking you. Believe thou this? Is there hope? That's a good question I can ask you. In that very situation, is there hope? Next slide, please. There's hope. So, yeah, those are some. I came across, let me just confess, I came across some scripture. If I will deal with all the scriptures, it will be full of scriptures. There's hope. Yeah, to be full of scriptures. So, just try to stream them, just bring some of them. So, we are still on still. So, let's look at the first still. So, look at the First Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We know 1 Corinthians chapter 13 being the chapter of love, right? The chapter of love. Now, verse 13, he says, and now, another scripture says, now at the end, I wanted to emphasize on that end, after all, right? What is remaining? It's a faith, hope, and love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. So in Bible studies, me myself, I'm analyzing, is faith, hope, and love arranged in levels of, this one is talking about greatness. Are they arranged according to greatness? I don't know. I've not found the answer. But here, clearly, scripture is saying, love is the greatest. Maybe faith, maybe hope, maybe love. Maybe. To me, it's looking like that's how it's arranged. Faith. I want to throw you back to Hebrew 11. Without faith, can we say it together? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we know the power of faith, right? We've been talking, we've been preaching about faith, you know. So we can mention people, say, by faith, women receive their children back to life. By faith, the lion, you know, power of faith. To me, it's sounding like, hope is somewhere here. Now you say that love is the greatest, but to me, you know, something, let's go deeper into hope. Right, that's how it's sounding to me. Right, so I'm just bringing this scripture to say that hope has its place. It's a very important place, a very strong place for us believers. Right, for us believers. So, yeah, back to my steel. So I will say that no matter what might happen, no matter my background, no matter the accident, no matter the situation, no matter my mistakes, no matter the mistake I made. Yes, I acknowledge I made such a mistake. Is there hope? Don't forget the theme. Still, there is hope. That's the theme. Don't forget that. With that mistake, is there hope? That chance is lost. Is there hope? All right. So here I'm saying, there is hope for a second chance. Yeah. There is a hope for a second chance. There is a hope for a new beginning again. There's a hope for a new beginning. So it's very intelligent. It will be very intelligent for us to see that, this is a mistake. Let me stop right here and turn around and have a new beginning. Very, very important. Right? Anytime we realize that this is a mistake, we stop right there, we turn around, and we have a new beginning. I'm still talking about hope. Unless there is no hope. Unless there is no hope. Somebody running in the track in the opposite direction. We cannot be shouting, Jaya, Jaya. No. You are going in the wrong direction. There's no hope. There is no hope. You can stop. Have you seen people fall down in the track, rise up again, and still be the first? Yeah, we've seen that time and again. So, a new beginning, turning around for a new beginning. I'm talking about hope. That's the only time where there's going to be hope. Finding a mistake. That's not the point. If I don't take time, I'll dwell too much on that. But that is a strong point, right? That's what I'm talking about. So, I want to say that generally, we have seen and we know that maybe a second chance might not be as good as the first chance. Maybe. That one we have to acknowledge it. That mistake I made, I already ruined my life, cut my life into two. But let me start again, just maybe with a hope. Of course, not to completely destroy, I'll tell you the truth, not to completely destroy myself. Maybe I'll still have a chance, like you remember the lost son? Maybe I'll just be a servant. I will not eat on pig food. At least, I'll be a servant in my father's house. Generally, that is it. But you know that I was going across the Bible. Look at the scripture I found for you. Look at the scripture I found for you. Haggai 2. Now, it said, the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place, he will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. Now I can preach the message. Still, there is hope that even the second chance can be better than the first chance. Yeah. So now my hope is not half hope. My hope now is a full hope that even the second one can be better, can still be more glorious. Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Let's go. Hallelujah. Amen. So now we are looking at the second one. So we are looking at the second, which is talking about the death of Christ. And Christ rising from the dead. Right? Christ rising from the dead. And I just put the first one as, you know, what we see in life, and the second one, what is afterlife, like, is like the first. But the question I want to ask you is, which one is the first? Is Christ rising from the dead the first, before what we go through this life? This is the even afterlife. So on this, we can come in with many. Do we have to go into that? We can come in with many scriptures. I don't think we read it already. So Christ is risen, right? Christ is risen, right? Christ is risen. We know that already. But the point is, the point of my message today will be: how much do you believe in that? How much do you lean on that? How much do you trust in that? For you, does it still sound like a fairy tale? I came across another scripture in John 11 that is talking about, don't follow after the lost philosophies of this world. I know people in church who still believe in things. Right? Who still believe in themselves. Who still believe in the academics. Who still believe in money, their father's money. Who still believe in other things. Thank God for my father's provision. But I thank God and pray for him and her and my mother because of God. God giving them to me. Amen. And another very strong discussion over there is, why are you a Christian? I think that's the real reason for my message, or one of the strong pillars. Why are you a Christian? Are you a Christian because your father was a Christian? Even if your parents were Christians, you yourself, you have to come to a realization, a point of decision, that yes, I believe in this that they are talking about. Is Christ risen from the dead still a fairy tale to me? Have I personally come to this encounter that yes, I accept it? I think this discussion should really have to, we should do that in church. This discussion really, really should be done in church. Why am I not a Muslim? Why am I not a traditionalist? Why am I not a Buddhist? That's the true discussion that we have to do. Right? So we've seen many people who don't really know what they believe. And they are carried away with the wind. Anything that goes. Anything that is trending. Anything that is going on. They are just carried away. Right? I don't know if you are in that position, but find out, why are you a Christian? Why are you a Christian? Some of us have tried. We tested it. Right? You want to watch some Buddhist documentaries. Many things are online. In Tibet, they spend all their life, you know, praying, and that's also them. Their hope is that when they die, in their second life, they will become better. Yeah, maybe they will become a goat or a dog or something. Look at those who be critical. It's not a joke. It's not a joke. Have you asked about Moses? Muhammad? Don't just be a Christian, like a dry leaf Christian. Let your faith be founded on something. Yeah, I'm from Africa. I'm from Ghana. In my culture, we believe in traditional belief, and we can come and show you power, and many powers, right? But I know a power that is higher than that. I've had that discussion since I was young, again and again and again and again. I know why I chose Jesus. Clearly showed, I know why I chose Jesus. My aunties were were servants of the marine spirit of the Mamiwata, and they were in white all the time. He gave them money. He blessed their distinct their businesses. Yeah, but the Mamiwata can sleep with you in the night without either you allow it or not, either you want it or not. Let's go into the discussion. So if I say I am for Christ, I know why I'm for Christ. I know clearly why I'm for Christ. I know why I'm for Christ. I know why I'm for Christ. It's not a joke. And I've tried and I've looked around. I want to be sure and sure and sure again why I'm for Christ. And that we have to. Right? That we have to. So I'm thinking that is a foundation. Can we go to the next slide? That is the foundation. So I just want to bring this, what Job is saying here, still, you know, going and maybe a little deeper into the hope matter. The hope matter. Now, my faith is founded on Christ. The firm foundation. I know why I chose him now. Now I'm hearing somebody says, there is faith or there is hope. I mean, how do I get a hope? How do I get to be part of that hope that he's talking about? Is it just a hope? Yes, I come to church. Is it just a hope that I go out there and do anything and there is hope? If it says there is hope, what do we mean by this hope? Or how do I get access to the full hope? Is it that I just come to church and just sit behind, or I just be one of them and there is hope? And anything that I do, I'm a Christian. Anything that I do, there is hope. Let's look at it. Job 14, from verse 7, he said, at least there is hope for a tree. Look at that. At least there is a hope for a tree. If it's cut down, it will sprout again. And its new shoots will not fail. Look at that. It new shoot will not fail. It new shoot that already is big to me. It's looking like the glory of the former, the latter house of Javi, greater than the former. To me, that's how it sounds. It new shoot, though it's new again, it won't fail. What does that mean? That means that this small shoot that you are seeing today can grow, can bear fruits, can bear many, many fruits, can become a strong tree. To me, that's how it sounds like. Even though it might be a small shoot today. Verse 8 says, its roots may grow old in the ground and the stump die in the soil. Yet. It's, to me, it sounds like a spark. Just at the word of the Lord, everything can turn around in that hopeless situation. At a sense of water, like that, it will bud and bring forth shoots like a plant. That's why we keep coming. That's why we keep worshiping. To hear his voice. That's how the word was created. Hebrew 11. Let there be light. And there was light. That's why we keep believing in the word. But the question that I bring to you today is, what is the source for this life, for this tree that we are talking about here? What is this? What, let somebody give us some answer. What is the hope for this tree? What is the hope of this tree anchored upon? I'm talking about hope. Maybe you see yourself as this tree that is at a spark of water. It can come up alive again. What is this hope anchored for? What is the tree, the source? What is the source of life of this tree? Can somebody give us an answer? You can shout it if you want. What do you think? Somebody give us an answer. You can shout it. Next slide, please. Yeah, it looks like this. So maybe, yeah. What do you think? Where would the life of this tree come from?
at the drop of water, at the sense of water, it will come up again. What do you think it comes from? For this, the foundation. What is the foundation? This tree. The roots of this tree. Yeah. Though you see it cut like that, though you see me like this as a foreigner of China, I'm rooted on something. My root is on something. My root is on something. That's why I'm saying there is hope. Because I know my root is on something. The next slide, please. That is where my hope is. That's why Paul is arguing. If Jesus died and didn't rise, let's pack our bags and go home. I'll be the first to get out. And Paul is saying that he will be the first to get out. Okay, whoa. Things to worship, many of them. I will go and worship them. Yeah. The roots. That's where the hope of the tree is. Yeah. 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 We can be in our schools and universities. People can see how just a foreigner. No. We are rooted in Christ. Whatever we came here to do, we're successful. And we'll go home with success. Whatever we touch, we'll be successful. Amen. That is our root. So that's the source. Amen. Next one. Next one. Right. Good. This one is okay. So the root here is the source of life for that tree. The root is the source of life for that tree. But now the root can play a bigger role than that. The source of life for the tree. And also can be the anchor for the tree. I'm still talking about hope. And I'm here to tell you. This scripture says, when I pass through the rivers, when I pass through the waters, you'll be with me, or you are with me. And I'm here to say that there can be, I'm not saying let the rains come, but there's going to be rain. There's going to be wind. There's going to be storm. But there is still hope. Still there is hope. Still there is hope. Because the root, which is my Christ, is my anchor. I anchor him. How much, next slide, how much anchored are you on him? That will be the next question. The need to have an anchor. I don't want to conclude it and say, I know that your anchor is Jesus. No. That's why I'm just asking you. I'm just saying that there is a need of an anchor. What is your anchor? Maybe, have you seen me people having an anchor on technology? People who have anchored on money? People who have anchored on people? People who have anchored on things of this life? People who are anchored on philosophies? Yeah. People have strongly, have you heard them? They are strongly anchored on their philosophy and say that because of love, a man can marry a man and they can say it loud in the world. And they can say, everybody will have to obey us. Because that is our philosophy. That's what we believe in. That's their anchor. Their anchor is that. So when you ask them, what is a woman? Then all their anchor is collapse. Because they can't give you any answer. Including everyone, including how educated they are. Right? And many other things can be your anchor. What is your anchor? I'm just saying that there is a need of an anchor. Otherwise, a wind can carry you away. A storm will carry you away and you'll be disappeared forever. What is your anchor? What is your anchor? Are you sure you are anchored? Now the question will be, how deep is your anchor in Christ? Your surety in your anchor will determine how deep you want to be committed to it. Right? So first of all, you have to believe in that anchor. Then you have to know how your griefs are on that anchor. So if you say you hope in something, how much do you believe in crypto? And you say your hope is in crypto. How much do you believe? How much anchor are you need? I want to anchor on Jesus. Next one. At any time. I want to anchor on Jesus. So here, kind of draw it to a close. I want to bring it to a close here. I'm just thinking. Looking into it, I'm just thinking, if I just throw it at one level there, or at one phase there, and say, oh, be anchored in Jesus, I think it's a little shallow.
think it's a little shallow. So the John 10, he said a thief comes, but for to steal, to kill and destroy, right? To kill, to steal and destroy. To me, this is showing levels of destruction. That's how I see it. To steal, to kill, you can steal without killing, right? Now to kill, and another level to be to destroy, right? That's why I'm asking the question. How anchored, if I still want to talk about there is hope, how anchored am I in Christ? I can just be a church comer. Can I just be a church comer and still say there is hope? I can't guarantee that for you. That will be on your own. That will be on your own. So here I'm saying, what's your hope against thieves? Against armed robbers? I'm kind of trying to put it on a higher level. Against a killer? Against a destroyer? Right? I believe we really have to, when we are talking about there is hope, we really have to see the depth. I'm talking about depth now. How deep are you rooted in Christ? I can come to church today, this Sunday, next Sunday. I don't want to come. Can the pastor ask me any question? Nobody can ask me a question. I can join a ministry or don't join a ministry. It's my own business. I'll just come and just go home. Anyway, I can't guarantee anything for you. But that's not what the body of Christ has taught us. Daniel 11, I'm talking about phase 2. Now he said, but the people who know their God. To me, know here is kind of, how deep do you know your God? How deep do you know your God? Shall be strong and shall carry out great exploit. Not just exploit, but great exploit. So we want to carry great exploit. We want to have great hope. Then we have to question how deep, how much we know of our Christ. Next one. Jesus is my anchor. And I'm saying that it's a blessed assurance. That's what Paul is saying. It's a blessed assurance. It's my blessed assurance. I can anchor in him. I can trust in him 24/7 at all times. Then now I can proclaim to you that I chose Jesus. That's what I told my family. I chose Jesus. And they can bring argument and discussion. Don't shout. Sit down. Let's talk about it. You want to talk about thunder God? Yeah. Thunder God, you call it, he killed other people. But the person was calling it, he killed him too. Because he made a mistake. You want to talk about iron God? Why did you choose Jesus? I can explain to you why I chose Jesus. Jesus is my anchor. As long as my life is totally rooted in Jesus, there is hope for me in every case. In every case, in every case. Psalm 34, verse 10 says, the young lion lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Shall not lack any good thing. Next one, as we draw it to a close. This argument, we will not go into that. Romans 5, you can read it. You can read it from verse 1. Next one, another one too is a discussion. Is the argument. Romans 8. That's where our faith is founded. It's explaining to us. We read that already in 1 Corinthians 15, so that is it. Right? So that we are not just people in the air, but we know what we are doing. Right? We know what we are doing. Now, hope, not just assurance, a blessed assurance, but it is becoming a weapon now. We can use hope now as a weapon. Because that is all our anchor. We can use the hope to fight now. We can use hope to fight. Because he lives. The last song. Now I can face. It's becoming a weapon now. I will not draw back. I'll not be the tail. I'll be the head. Because of the hope I have in Christ. Amen. The next one, last one. I think the next one will be the last one. Amen. So, the solution of my help or my hope search within to see how much you want to be anchored on Christ. How much you want to be anchored on Christ. Because we don't even know much. Look at that. Romans 8. It says, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen, what? God is no hope. For what a man sees, what does he hope for? But if we hope that we have seen not in what we have seen not, then we have patience to wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. Of course, we have infirmities. Don't look at the infirmities. Don't look at the weaknesses. For we don't know what we to pray for. We are back to the prayer that we were talking about, that the prayer ministry has been talking about. We are back to it. We don't even know how we ought to pray it for, or we ought, how we ought to. But the Spirit, look within, itself maketh intercession for us with groaning without that cannot be uttered. Back to the Spirit, back to prayer, back to inner self. Hallelujah. That's the message I have for you today. There is hope. A hope founded in Christ. Not just in the air. And we have to know what we believe with full conviction and have assurance, blessed assurance that whatever the case might be, because I'm rooted by the sense of water, there is hope. Things that we go through life, there is still hope. Let's pray in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you and we bless your name, O Lord. For Christ rose again to life. That is my hope. There is hope. And because of that, you've given me hope in everything I do. I can anchor, I can give my head to it. I can give my head for it. That there is hope in everything. That's what you said. Even in the last minute, even the 11 or 12, 13 minutes, there is hope. Because you are the resurrection. Yeah. And as people of God, I pray, oh God, for over this house, that as we walk, we go deeper, oh God, into the water that is flowing from the altar, that becomes deeper and deeper, that any dead water that it touches receives new life, receives new hope, receives new life, receives life again, receives life again. That we don't just receive hope, but we become hope to wherever we are in our communities. We are the hope for the family. We are the hope for the family. We are the hope for the community. Where did they get that hope from? Because of their roots. They are rooted in Christ. Oh yeah, it's Christ that is giving them that hope. Look at their weaknesses. They are almost down. They are almost finished. No, but they still rise again with hope. Where did they get the hope from? We thought she was completely finished with her sickness, but she's still rising again with faith and hope because her roots is Christ. The strong foundation that never shakes, that never moves. All others land are sinking sand. Yeah. But on Christ the rock I stand, and I stand for good and forever. Even after life, I have hope for a reward. I have hope for a reward. I have hope to live eternally with my master. Yeah, I'm not lost. I'm with Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.